Well, before we start, I would like to say thank you for your prayers, which I have sent out this week, of the difficulty of being sick or having sick kids and all kinds of things going on throughout the week. And I think this thing's a little bit hot. I would like to ask that, can you turn it down just a little bit? I think it's a little... I would like to ask that each week, I simply want to ask that you would pray for me throughout the week. There are many challenges all the time, preparing for Sunday, and I think it's obvious at times that there's a spiritual attack. The devil does not want me to prepare well on Sundays. So even now I have a really bad toothache that I've had for quite a while and quite painful. So I would appreciate your prayers. I struggled this week so much, I think, just intellectually in trying to figure out, okay, God, why did you send the shepherds to the birth of Jesus? Why them? Could have been anyone. So why, Lord, did you send the shepherds? And it wasn't till Saturday morning at 4:30. I wasn't up, you know, doing something at 4:30, but I was laying there, and at 4:30 in the morning, I had a eureka moment. Oh, okay, I think I understand now. Thankfully, I think I have some answers. Let's pray together. Almighty God, this is your word, and you are everything, and we're just common, ordinary people trying to figure out what it is that you want to say to us through your word. So I pray that this morning you would use my frailty and my ordinariness so that Jesus will shine and Jesus will be seen. We pray in His name. Amen. Well, here in this well-known Christmas passage, as the song that we sang, one of my favorite songs, Come Behold the Wondrous Mystery, I hope that you see that it is truly a mystery and that it is wonderful. The most important person to ever be born, the Son of God, God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, becoming human flesh and dwelling among us. The King of the universe, the one who controls every molecule in all of the galaxies, has become a human baby. The one who spoke quasars into existence with a word is wrapped in swaddling cloths, is wrapped in rags there in the manger. The Savior, the Christ, the Lord is in an animal feeder. It is a mystery, and it's not what we would expect. Why did God do it this way? As Daryl Bach says, truly it is a study in contrast between how God did it and how you and I would have done it. Our world today is infatuated with self and promoting self. Life for many people in the world today is a gallery of pictures posts and snapshots of how interesting our lives are. Our value, it seems today, is deeply tied to the projection of our story and the number of people who like us. To be honest, it seems that today the world is screaming for acceptance and applause. Yet, when God enters the world, He chooses to do it quietly and humbly. He didn't post His arrival on Facebook or Instagram or WeChat moments. And no prophet was shouting it out in the streets of Jerusalem. It was just quiet and humble. Why did He do it that way? The small village of Bethlehem, as far as we know, was sleeping and quiet. Jerusalem, the holy city, seems to know nothing about it. And in Rome, the major city of the world, the Roman Empire, seems to be silent at the arrival of God on the planet. But the Bible does record that there are some people there to see this wonder of wonders. And of all the people in all the world at that time, God decides to send shepherds. Why shepherds? People who keep sheep. Of all the people, these are the only people that are there to basically see Jesus, besides Mary and Joseph, in the manger. They're in their fields, just simply doing their job, looking after their sheep, protecting their sheep. It's nighttime, making sure they get grass and water. God uses and chooses common, ordinary shepherds to be the eyewitnesses of His birth on planet Earth. Nobody special, just ordinary people. Why then? Why shepherds? Some people like to suggest, and I would say probably all over the world during the Christmas season, there will be people who will be preaching on the fact that the shepherds must have been despised, and they were poor, and they were dirty, unwanted loners. And the reason why they showed up at the birth of Jesus is so that we know God loves the poor and the dirty, and we should love the homeless. Well, Jesus surely loves the poor because He was poor, but there isn't much evidence that the shepherds were sent there because they were despised people in Jewish culture, even though they were probably dirty. After all, most Bible heroes and the patriarchs were shepherds. I don't know if you ever thought about that before, but Adam was a keeper of the animals. Abel was a shepherd. Abraham was a shepherd. Isaac was a shepherd. Jacob was a shepherd. Jacob's 12 sons were shepherds. Moses was a shepherd. David was a shepherd. And even God Himself in Psalm 80 is referred to as the Shepherd of Israel. So it's hard to make a case that the shepherds are there because they were despised. We'll use that sometimes to talk about what we want to talk about, which is helping the poor. So it doesn't seem to be because they were despised when most of the Bible heroes were shepherds. So why the shepherds? Because if it was anyone else, we might be looking at them and not at Jesus. The shepherds were so ordinary and so common that if there was anybody else to show up at Jesus' birth, they might steal the limelight from the Savior. God chooses shepherds, not business leaders. God chooses shepherds, not government leaders. God chose shepherds, not the smartest and not the brightest. Why? Because God is jealous for His glory. God does not want anyone to steal His glory, not because he has some kind of complex, but because it's not the right thing to do for anyone to get the glory except for God. So here, in the most important moment in the earth's history, God wanted to make sure that our eyes are on Jesus and not others. We're meant to see Jesus and His glory. The angels themselves announce and make sure that they point us in the right direction. What did they say? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased or with whom His favor rests. Glory to God, not to shepherds, not to the wise men who didn't come till later, not to Mary, not to Joseph. The one who lays in the manger is the one we are supposed to see because of who He is. So you notice in the Bible passage that we read, it has all of this mention about the shepherds coming, and there is Jesus in the manger saying nothing. But He is the central figure. For unto us, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Very profound that the angels announce specifically who Jesus is. And you know, the word Savior does not show up in the Gospels except one other time. So here we have the word Savior. He is the Savior. Oh, how we need a Savior. I don't know if you've really thought about, maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, but just how much we need a Savior. We need a deliverer. Because we have all messed up our lives. I don't know if you realize how much you might have messed your life up. We've all willingly indulged in nastiness. We've all cheated. We've all been thieves. We've stolen. We've all hated other people. We've all shook our finger at God at some point in our lives, whether we realize it or not, and said, I will do as I please. And we can't stop. We need a Savior. We need someone to take our punishment away from us. We need somebody to forgive us. We need someone to release us. We need God to forgive us. We need God to release us from the prison and the slavery of sin in our own hearts and lives. And we need someone to bring us peace. Have you ever been at a time in your life where you had no peace? And this Savior is, the Bible says, He is Christ. He is a deliverer. He is the Christ. He is the anointed one. He is the King. We need a King to rule over us as much as we need a Savior to forgive us. a king who is gracious and compassionate. We need a wonderful counselor, a mighty God. We need someone to fight our battles for us, which is what kings do, against the enemy. And Jesus himself fought the greatest battle against the greatest enemy, which is Satan and sin, and he won. We need a Savior, and we need a King. And then the angel says, He is the Lord. Do you know what it means when the angel proclaims that He is the Lord? It means that He is God. We need God Himself to deliver us. And He has come in human flesh and dwelt among us. That's why the angel says this is good news of great joy. Good news of great joy. I don't know how often you experience joy, but the gospel should bring you joy. Listen to what the gospel says. Think about the mystery. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. That's Hebrews 1. Colossians 1. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. That means He is the ruler over all creation. For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Isn't it just absolutely unbelievable but believable that that's who the Bible says Jesus is? He upholds the universe by the word of His power, and yet He's laying wrapped in rags as a human baby, fully God, fully man, in a dirty animal feeder. It is a mystery that must be received by faith. And the only people that He sent to witness it were some common, ordinary shepherds. Why did He do that? Because the baby alone gets the glory, not the people who are there to see it. In sending common shepherds, God seems to be saying something. All of us in this room are common, ordinary people. Probably none of us in this room are famous, exceptional people. We're just common. And I don't know if you've thought about it or if you struggle with this morning, but I know I struggle with it, being ordinary and being common. If we were honest, we might say that we struggle with it. I'm just a common, ordinary person. Do you feel it? Do you feel the pull in your life to be something greater than what you are? Do you ever feel the pull from the world and the culture to break out of your commonness or your obscurity? The world says you should be something better than what you are. The world screams at us that we are supposed to be valuable. We're supposed to be ornate and beautiful. The world tells us that we should be decorative, not ordinary and not common. The world says you're not enough the way you are, being common like a shepherd and ordinary. But we are just jars of clay. And I don't know if you struggle with it. I know I surely struggle with it, living in this world. We're not the boss. We're just a worker. We aren't the head teacher. We're just an assistant. Or I don't have my PhD. I just have my master's. Or I'm a professor and I'm not published here and there. I'm just teaching day in and day out. Or I'm not the pastor of a big, famous church. I'm just the pastor of a normal one. But God wants to be glorified through and in our ordinariness. And through and in our normalness. He doesn't want us to steal the show. God does not want us to rob His glory, as most of us would. The truth is, out of love, God keeps us common and humble and normal because He knows that we're so wicked that if He were to exalt us, we would try to rob His glory. Or we would just totally forget about God in general. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you have a Bible, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Interesting what the Bible says about us. And why God keeps us a jar of clay. Why God has us like a shepherd, just a normal, ordinary person. Listen what the Bible says. Even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Which sounds to me like the same thing or similar thing as saying, We are common and we are ordinary so that we bring glory to Jesus Christ and not to ourselves. Why is it shepherds who are there at the birth of Jesus? Because shepherds are just ordinary workers, ordinary common people. And we're not to see anyone except Christ and Christ alone. How beautiful it was that God used the shepherds that way. And guess what? We know nothing about them. We don't know their name. They just go back to their fields and they disappear into history, into obscurity. They were common people who heard the good news and received it with joy. And they beheld Jesus Christ. And then they went to Mary and Joseph, actually, and glorified and praised God for who He is and what they had seen and heard. And then they disappear. The truth is, brothers and sisters, as that's a picture of our lives. Our lives are just a vapor on this planet Earth. We're common and we're ordinary. We're here for a short amount of time. Probably most of us will not do many great things. We will probably be unknown to the pages of history. We simply behold Jesus and go about our normal everyday lives, praising and giving glory to God. Because God wants to get the glory from our lives. And we may never know the impact that we have. We will disappear into obscurity. The question is this: are you content with being ordinary? Are we content to live in obscurity and ordinariness in our lives? Just to be a simple, ordinary person who's not striving to be great, not striving to be something the world would tell us to be, but just to live a life where God has placed us, to know Jesus and proclaim Him and live for His glory. To be faithful. I don't know about you. It's definitely a struggle that I have in my own life. To be content in my own heart and in my own life to just say, I will just be faithful wherever You have placed me. And if nobody ever knows my name, if nobody ever knows anything I've ever done, God knows. And we'll be content with that. Exactly who the shepherds were, just shepherds. We know nothing about them. Yet God decided to place them there in the greatest moment in history. Let's pray together. God, I thank You for the countless thousands of times You have said no to our dreams, to our wishes, to our desires for wanting to be wonderful, wanting to be more. Thank You for saying no so that You could receive glory, that You could be famous, that You could be the one who has the surpassing power. Thank you for delivering us from our own desire to rob you of your glory by being special. Lord, we need you to do a work in our hearts where we examine our motives and we look honestly at our own hearts and our lives, and we see ways where we are striving. And yet you say we are to cease striving and know that you are God. Help us to be still and to be like a shepherd, to be ordinary, to be common, and to be content, and to be faithful, even if no one ever knows, or if no one ever likes or comments on what we do. Thank you for the Savior and the Lord and the Christ. From Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory in the highest, forever and ever.